Hello, darlings. Welcome to the second Mindfully Organized podcast. I'm so happy to be able to share this time with you. I'm Rose Holly, the Simplification Coach and founder of Mindfully Organized. I help busy professionals who are stuck in a world of too many decisions figure out what to let go of and what to embrace in their lives so they can love the life path they are choosing to walk. Today's podcast is a conversation with Tandy Elisala, the founder and CEO of the Center for Inspiring Greatness. Podcasts in the future will be a mix of interviews with other busy professionals who will share how they manage crazy world of infinite choices and exercises and talks from yours truly about how to simplify the decision-making process and how to train your brain and other cool, mindfully and organized stuff. Before we get started today, I want to take a minute to just celebrate you taking this time to be here today, to listen to this podcast. There are so many places you can be spending your time and your energy. And just so you know you're in the right place, ask yourself these questions. If you want to start off 2014 right, if you want to start the new year thinking about how you can move closer to the life that you dream about, do you want to just create a little more space and peace in your life? Then today's podcast is for you. I know you'll find something today to bring into your life that's going to de-stress, simplify, or just change how you think about what's going on. And with that said, let me introduce our guest for today. Tandy Elisala is a founder and CEO of the Center for Inspiring Greatness. She specializes in success coaching and family caregiver coaching and created the Caregiving Peace Training and Coaching System. Tandy is a leadership executive with 25 years experience in higher education administration and talent management. She was a full-time caregiver for both parents simultaneously while kicking cancer's butt a third time herself. She lives in Phoenix, Arizona with her three kids, two dogs, and three cats. Welcome, Tandy.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
I'm thrilled that you've chosen to spend some time with us, and I can't wait to see what this interview pulls out of both of us. I think a lot of our listeners love to hear about how we find our way out of chaos. So can you tell us a little bit about... Well, it sounds like there was a pretty chaotic time in your life with caregiving and illness. Can you tell us, how do you work that out? How do you find your way out of the chaos that that brings into your life?
That's a great question, Rose. I have to say, definitely over a three-year period between 2009 and 2012 was definitely the most chaotic. I was a caregiver and a care receiver. I had multiple things happen in our family mostly within a three-month period. I had surgery, abdominal surgery, which required, you know, push-pull weight limitations. Weeks later, my sister was involved in a really horrific accident, breaking a lot of bones and dislocating things. The next week, our already disabled mother was diagnosed with breast cancer. 3 weeks later, my father was involved in a massive 21-plus car pileup, causing severe traumatic brain injury and physical injury. He was my mom's caregiver, and he worked. This obviously sent our family into a huge tailspin, changed our life forever. And all of this, as I said, happened within a three-month period. And shortly thereafter, I was diagnosed with cancer for a third time, as you mentioned. I also left my executive career to provide care for my parents full-time. Any one of those things in itself could cause chaos and can kind of knock us off the path, so to speak. How do I found my way through? There were six things. Number one, my faith. My faith served me well through my darkest hours. Number two is family support. Rose, I cannot tell you how grateful I am that our family came together the way that we did. We are already a close family, really close-knit family. But this experience or series of experiences definitely brought us closer together. that was a beautiful thing, and everyone rallied, you know, in support of everyone in our family. The third was gratitude. And I'll talk a little bit more about gratitude. That's huge. I really believe and am very grounded in gratitude. Number four, love. Pure, unconditional love for my parents and my kids. That was huge. Fifth was alternative healing modalities. You know, Rose, one of the things I didn't share was over the last decade, I've become certified in various alternative healing modalities, Reiki, hypnotherapy, thought field therapy, etc. I integrated those techniques for me and my parents during various times. And lastly, and lastly, I am an incredibly strong person, and I just really had to muster all the strength I had within for me and my kids to get us through this time.
It sounds like quite a load, and I am very impressed, and I think that there's a lot here. You know, I think gratitude and love both give you strength. It's a nice circle of all of the things that kind of feed on each other to really give you what you need in the time of great crisis, really.
Yeah, you're right. Absolutely.
So can you tell us a little bit about more of your background?
Sure. I have a 25-year career in higher ed administration and talent management. Most of the time was spent at the University of Phoenix, where I was a vice president of university services, and I was responsible for all the support services from the time students were admitted up to and including graduation. At the time I left, we had 460,000 students. It was a big job. It was a huge job, and I absolutely loved it. I also served 10 years as an adjunct faculty member, teaching leadership, strategic management, and human resources. During this time in higher ed, in my leadership role, I really felt it was important for personal and professional development to walk the talk and to be that facilitator in facilitating transformation for my team. And I became a Franklin Covey certified facilitator and facilitated those opportunities for my team. I became, as you know, a full-time caregiver, which changed everything. I really believe that my blessing here in the world is to lead, teach, and heal. And I always knew that my career, you know, my corporate career, if you will, was obviously important and the work we did was important. And I was really passionate about what we did, yet I knew that that wasn't really why I was here. When everything came to a head with our family in November of 2009, it really, really caused a huge shift for me in making the decision to leave that career and spend that time with my parents.
Yeah, that must have been a huge decision to pull yourself out of that stressful, I'm sure, busy environment, but that was safe because you knew it and you've been there for 25 years. And
exactly.
To go and take care of yourself and your family.
Yeah. You know, Rose, you hit on a very good point, and that is I was there for so long that, and because I'm a single mom and had raised my kids, you know, as a single mom most of their life, I was very much all about safety, security, but the reality is there really isn't security in business, but I was still making huge contributions, and I did feel centered and safe and had that security. When that changed, it just really opened up a whole bunch of other things.
I do know. I left a 15-year career. Even when you know it's not exactly where you need to be and it's not what you're being called to do, it's very easy to convince yourself, but I'm doing good work, but people need me here, and I know this place. I can take care of my family by doing this. It's a big decision, a big step to kind of take that leap of faith almost and say, I can do this outside of regular paycheck. I need to take that step before anything else happens.
You know, you're right. And sometimes we have to just go all in. And I think for a lot of my clients, that's the experience, is something drastic usually has to happen in order for them to get out of that comfort zone and take the risks that they know they needed to take anyway. You know, it can be difficult to kind of have one foot in and one foot out. Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, I didn't do it very well. I needed to take a pretty, and I didn't have anything really happen. I just decided, but I had to take the drastic step. I wasn't doing what I needed to start a new life when I was working so much at the old one. Some people can do it, and some of us need just to take a leap. I think there's just something about setting off in a new direction and being focused. So you went straight from this career into caregiving and coaching at the same time?
I created the Center for Inspiring Greatness in 2003 to provide coaching and the alternative healing piece,
okay.
A lot of hypnosis and hypnotherapy work. From there, my practice just grew into a lot of different healing modalities, and I integrated that into my coaching. Yet it was very much a side thing, Rose. It couldn't have fed the kids.
Right.
And I'll tell you, it wasn't until my parents, everything happened with them, and I became their full-time caregiver that I said to myself, okay, I may have a little small period of time where I need to step back into the corporate world, but this is the time to really stretch myself and take that risk and extend my business. I'm doing that, you know, doing that full time.
That's awesome. What do you think brings you the most balance when everything's all crazy and chaotic and maybe even disheartening? What brings you the most balance into your life?
Well, a couple things. One, and this might sound, I don't know, cliche, but my kids. You know, my kids really do bring me joy. You know, we can hug each other, or I can just look into their eyes and I see the beauty and the magnificence, and it all comes back into perspective. My dogs, you know, they really have brought balance into my life in huge ways, huge, huge ways. Aside from that, a lot of people may not have kids or dogs or may not resonate with that. Self-care is huge. Huge, 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 huge. And there are a lot of very simple strategies that I did and do to bring myself back to center and balance. And one of those is really a very simple thing, and that's taking a deep breath in through the mouth and exhaling through the nose, doing that 5 times at least, 5 to 10 I find is good. What that does, Rose, is it tends to, you know, lowers your blood pressure. It really just helps center you, and you're able to think more clearly and see things from a different light. And so if 5 or 10 don't do it, here's what the other thing I do and I recommend is on the in-breath, I visualize a plus sign. You can use a plus sign, meaning positive. You can use white light. You can use whatever thing resonates for you as a positive thing in your life. Imagine that plus sign or that light just infusing every cell, every bone in your body, and bringing good to you. And then on the exhale, to visualize a minus sign. Or another good thing is like imagine, you know, just like brown or something, just like all the negativity, the stress, all of that, the worry going out of your body. And another quick tip is to do that in the shower, because there's something like it kind of brings it more to life. If you're the kind of person that is, it's tough to visualize or imagine something, in the shower, you can just imagine that all of the water that's flowing down the drain is all of the worry, the stress, the negativity leaving your body, and then doing the in-breath exercise. So the power of breath is very important.
Awesome. I think the shower thing is a good idea. And water is somehow relaxing in and of itself. Adding those two of just taking a few minutes inside of your shower, that might be a good part of your morning routine if you're a person who just kind of wakes up stressed.
Yes, definitely. Absolutely. And here's one last thing that I do. And I talked a little bit about gratitude earlier and how that has really been an influence in my life. And you can do this with anything. You don't have to have a specific object in your hand. I use beads, you know, like a mala beads. And, what I do is I touch each bead. But you can use anything. I take like 5 minutes and give thanks, either silently or out loud, for the issue at hand. And I do it as if the matter is already resolved. If, for example, you are stressed because there's disharmony in your workplace and you're worried about something or someone there is saying something to the effect of, I am so thankful and grateful that all of my relationships at work are harmonious and all decisions are for the betterment of everyone in the organization. I just threw that off the top of my head, but it can be anything.
Right.
No. But to word it as if it's present tense and as if you already have it or you already are perfect health. You know, I am enjoying perfect health. I do that. I like the beads idea because it's 108 and it's kind of cool. You know, when I first did this exercise, I couldn't think of 108 things. This was a long time ago. It's neat. I would just encourage you to stick with it because it will permeate into the subconscious and it'll be amazing the effect it will have on you and your balance.
That's great. I do think that gratitude is a very powerful force in nature, no matter what you believe in your faith and whatever. Mm-hmm. Even if you don't believe in the energy of gratitude, which I do, just think about the face you're putting out there to everyone. And who do you want to hang out with, the people that are looking for the positive or the people that are looking for the negative? If you're training your brain to be looking for those things to be thankful for.
Yes, absolutely. And you know, Rose, it just occurred to me, you know, I've had a couple people that have come and recently left my life that I thought would be in my life for a longer period of time. And it raised a great point when you said when you're hanging around with, you know, with negative people or basically people that aren't in harmony with who you are and who you want to be. Sometimes practicing these kinds of things can actually cause an energy shift and that person will just leave your life because you aren't in alignment anymore.
Yeah. And you have no idea who's going to come into your life then and how much power a real positive energy can be in your life. Somebody who is looking at, oh, well, that's tough, but, well, what about this? You can do X, Y, and Z and not just staying in, well, that's tough.
Mm-hmm.
Not everything is positive. I mean, it's very hard to think of a, you know, 21-car pileup that hurts your dad as a positive thing.
Right.
But positive things can come out of negative things. And we just not staying in the, well, this sucks, but moving yourself into, and it's what I need to deal with, and what can I do with it?
Exactly. You know, it's funny, we talked about chaos. I really did find the blessing in the tragedy. I recently, in fact, my book is in my hot little hands, and I wrote a book called Healing Through the Chaos.
Oh!
And, yeah. And it's about practical caregiving. The fact is 1 in 3 Americans are going to be or have been caregivers, family caregivers, and most of us are unprepared, really, really unprepared. And we think we are. So I walk people through all the healing that I did and all the different things that I did throughout the entire journey. So that was a blessing because that is going to be able to be out in the world. And if I can just even help one family caregiver, then it was worth it. You know, the other thing I just have to say real quick is, from a blessing perspective, is my dad, we've always been close, but I've always looked at my dad and my mom as my dad and mom. You know, my mom and dad, I've always been a daddy's girl. And One of the huge blessings was I was able to do some very specific exercises with my dad in particular to help him move from his head to his heart and share things with me. So we became so much closer. And as a result, I was able to see him for the man that he was outside of being my dad. And that was healing in and of itself, and that time with him to be able to have done that in the 3 years that we had him was priceless.
That is a really true blessing that you can have that time with him. Mm-hmm. And see him in a really different way. And obviously give him something really powerful, too.
Yes.
That allowed him to share a part of himself with you that he hadn't before.
Exactly. Exactly. Hopes and dreams and everything in between.
Aww. <That's funny. laughs> I honestly do think that if you don't stay in the negative, the blessings are actually easy to find in the chaos that life throws us, because they do bring people together closer than this crazy world that has so many choices and so many places we can be paying attention to. And if you're not trying hard, then you're probably not seeing people, because there's just so much going on. And then something happens and it makes you realize where you need to start focusing.
That's right. And it's tough when you're in that situation. It's hard to find gratitude. You know, one thing we did was get a gratitude jar.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really like an open bowl, and I had pieces of paper and markers, and every single day, every one of us, I say had to,
mm-hmm.
you must find one thing that you're grateful for that day and put it in the jar. And at the end of the month, we would read it out loud to each other, and that in and of itself, again, invoked more positivity into our lives. Just another
That's
little tip.
Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
My intention has been to put a gratitude jar out for the year, but I think monthly might actually be a more fun thing, and then you could have a family meeting once a month. Mm-hmm. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, and you could even cut different pieces of paper based on if there's a holiday that month.
You're getting happy on me.
For the newlywed here, you know, you could do for February, you know, red and pink or something. You know?
Yes, for those of you that don't know, I threw a surprise wedding yesterday right before we recorded this interview. By the time you listen to it, I will have been married for a couple of weeks now probably, but I have much to be grateful for, speaking of gratitude, for sure. We know what we need to do a lot of the time. It's so easy to let it go, though.
Mm.
You know,
mm.
We know what our bodies need. We know what our brains need. What's something that you struggle to keep doing regularly, and how do you make sure that you keep it in your daily life?
That is a fabulous question, Rose. I would say the first thing that comes to mind there is my sleep schedule. I don't know about you, but I'm so passionate about what I'm doing and the blessing that we're bringing out into the world. I'm a night girl, so I'm the kind of person that I tend to want to keep working, especially if I'm in the middle of something and it's moving, burn the midnight oil. And our bodies were not designed for that. I found that when I don't take that time, that self-care, that time to get adequate rest, that the body gets ill. One of the things that I do to minimize that is to, this is going to sound weird, to schedule it. I put it in my day timer, mm-hmm. and I put it in my phone, say an hour before I need to be in bed. I'll have an alarm on my system, and I'll even put a little reminder that says something like, your tomorrow depends on your sleep tonight, or something like that. That is a reminder, and I have it just keep going until I get my rear end off the computer. And do my nightly routine and all that good stuff and get to bed. So scheduling it and having it right in your face, in your calendar, is a really effective way that I've been able to mitigate that.
That is awesome, because that is actually one of my worst things, too.
Oh, yeah?
And I have not thought about putting it in my calendar and setting an alarm. So sleep is, Sleep is one of my biggest things. I'm also a night out. I get my best ideas for writing and for working on things later at night after I've had the whole day to process. And My body really does. There's something I think about being older and also dealing with a few autoimmune conditions that I just can't not sleep. Like I pay for it. So
Same here.
That's awesome. That's been on my New Year's, figure out how to start making sure that you're getting 8 hours, if not nine.
Exactly. You know, that's interesting, Rose. So many people around me can operate on 4, 5, 6, 7 hours of sleep, and I'm with you. I need 8 to 9 hours of sleep, and I have, you know, some conditions as well, and so it's really, really important. If, you know, I can do it one night, but I still kind of pay for it, but I can't do it consistently, you know.
Yeah.
One of those things. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you, and if there's anything that I've ever been really jealous about in my old age, I don't get jealous too often. I love my life. I love what I do. I love my family and my friends, but boy, I would just, oh, I'd love to be one of those people that could sleep 6 hours a night and be cool.
No, I know.
There's just so much.
And our immune system is perfect.
I know. Isn't this crazy? My honey actually is one of the ones that he can, 6 hours of sleep is good for him unless he's sick or really stressed out. He doesn't really need any more than that. And at times it can make me feel lazy because, like, I'm going to sleep before him. I'm waking up after him. Like,
yeah.
But he doesn't make me feel lazy. It's just me. And I just have to, you know, it's at that point where you go, yes, this is what I need. This is what he needs. This is what I need. That's just the way it goes. I think the other one that I have to work on is stretching and making sure that my body's getting the movement it needs. And I'm pretty good at it, but I know that sometimes you can convince yourself, like, oh, I stretched this morning. I don't need to do it tonight.
Right? Exactly. You know what, Rose? It's so funny you say that because that is one of mine as well. And as we speak, I am sitting on a one of those round exercise balls.
Oh,
Yeah. And
that's awesome.
I switched from sitting in a regular chair because I found that I could get really comfortable and I would sit still, and then 3 hours, 4 hours later, I'm like, oh, man, I should have stretched. By being on the ball, I'm sitting up straight and I'm more alert and I'm getting the movement because I can just easily do it. Food for thought.
That is a great idea. Yeah, my girlfriend actually has one of those, too, and she just loves it, especially when she's writing, because it just keeps her body kind of moving around. What do you do to reboot when you just, like, feel, oh, my gosh, I'm so stressed out, it's so chaotic, What? How do you reboot yourself?
Yeah, that happens to all of us, and in addition to the things that I've mentioned before and the different exercises, there's a couple of things that I do that really help. Because part of needing a reboot is, and losing your path, is you're spending your time and your energy on things that are not in alignment with your path. So what I do is I take a piece of paper and I write down all the ways that I take responsibility for others. For example, my kids need to ask me to print something, you know, or whatever for a school project. Well, they're perfectly capable of going to another computer and printing it. You know, there's an appointment for other people, or there's just so many ways that when we really think about it, ways that we take responsibility for others and we just take it on, when really we can put the monkey back on their backs. I write that list, and then I prioritize it, and then I have a conversation with whatever or whoever that involves and say, you know, I need to self-correct, and this is one way that this is a need that I have, and this is one way you can help me, kind of thing. So that's one. Another is when I'm really, really worried and stressed out, you know, which is hard because it's just conflicting emotions. On a larger scale, you know, everything is okay, everything's going to work out, it's all this. But when you're really dealing with it in that moment, it's hard. And one of the things that I ask myself is, okay, do I have control or influence over the situation? Because, you know, Rose, most of us worry a lot about or get caught up in things that we have no control over.
Mm-hmm.
And that is really a good distinction, because if you don't have control over it, then the next question is, do you have influence over it? And if yes, then you can think through the shifts and what you need to do to effectively influence. And the more that you can influence, the larger, in essence, your fear of control is, so to speak, depending on what topic you're talking about. But that is another question. And lastly, I pay it forward. And I tend to do this anyway. But, you know, when I've lost my path, going somewhere where there's feeding the homeless or paying for somebody else's meal or something, you know, I tend to do that a lot with military folks and their families. If they're in uniform and I can see, you know, that they're military, I will pay for their meal. And I won't tell them, you know, I'll tell whoever. I won't, they don't know who did it.
Right.
And that's, I like it. Paying it forward and being of service to others, doing something that for those that are less fortunate, boy, that has really helped me to reboot and come back to center.
That is, yeah, I do really believe that helping also helps each other. And I think it's an interesting way, going back to the first one you said, I think it's an interesting way of creating, I reboot with lists all the time, but I've never really done it in the, and which of these aren't really my job?
Right. Exactly.
I am all for also deleting when you make that list. This is all the things that my brain's telling me I have to do. Now, which one of them aren't really important?
Exactly. Yeah.
And sometimes even things that would be nice, if they're stressing you out, aren't nice. So they can just go.
Mm-hmm.
I find that, you know, especially we just got done with the holiday season for everyone, and people can make themselves really crazy, and I think it's a powerful tool for everyone. If you're feeling stressed out, if you're like just writing that all down and then deleting some of it.
Yeah, exactly. I love it. That's great. You know, speaking of writing, journaling is also good. I journal regularly, not every day, but regularly. And going back and looking at that too, not deleting, but looking at all the things that, you know, are going well and looking at that, I can see kind of the path of how I lost my path. And, and that helps too.
Yeah. Yeah, I think journals are a great thing to do. If the listeners out there don't have one yet, it's a really nice thing. Don't get caught up in the perfect journal. Just, you know, write when you feel like writing, write when you're stressed, write when you're happy. Don't worry about it being every, you know, I've got to write everything down. You don't. Just write what feels like it. You can get a lot of clarity just by writing, and then going back and reading what you've written later.
Yeah. Yep, definitely.
So given everything that you and your family have been through the last 4 years, what quick tips can you share about how families can get through difficult times together?
Great question. First is realize that other people and things may come and go in our lives, but family is forever. You should treat each other as such. Number two is communicate. Communication is so key, and I know everybody says it, but it is true. And saying what you need to say and being at peace and having those boundaries, but doing it lovingly is very important. The third, Rose, one of my other favorite things to do, eating together. In this day and age, with everybody going here and there and everywhere, it can be tough to bring everybody together. But having even just one meal a week, I strongly recommend that, because that is a really powerful connector and way for everyone to just dial in and see what's going on well, what's not, any issues, anything. That's a big one. Humor is required. You know, we all take ourselves much too seriously. And families that can laugh together and find things to laugh at, even if it's ourselves, is really important. And lastly, mommy days. When I divorced my children's father, one of the things I instituted were monthly mommy days. And that was individual time with the kids. And while, you know, your question was around what the family can do to get through difficult times, I found that having individual time with my kids really helped the overall dynamic of the household. Just that special time where it's just us. It doesn't have to cost, you know, an arm and a leg. It can be walking. It can go to a park. It can be wherever you are and what have you. It just, we have found that that's really an important thing for our family.
Yeah. I only have one kid, but I could see if you had more than one, that having your own time would be really, really important to making sure that you're connecting on a deep level.
Yeah.
With your kiddos.
Yeah.
So,
kids these days.
Well,
there's so much going on in their little heads. We have to keep track of it.
Yeah, I do. I do kind of feel, I think because there's just so much information out there, I mean, it's not really the kids these days. It's the information these days. I mean, we just didn't have it flowing at us the way they do. You know, there's like three channels on TV, and half the time they're watching something that only the grown-ups wanted to watch, and there just wasn't this amount of information that just streams at them. I think they really have a lot more to process.
Yeah. So, I wouldn't want to be a kid in this generation right now. Like, it's tough.
Being a kid was a hard place in my head. For me, I was shy, and I moved a lot, and, oh, boy, I wouldn't go back to that brain. Not for $1 million, I wouldn't go back to that brain. I truly believe that we just get better with every year if you're out there and you're reaching. You can stagnate, but if you're out there, if you're thinking about what you're doing, if you're being grateful and reaching for new ideas, then, like, every year just gets better.
Yep. Absolutely. That's the goal.
That is the goal. So tell us a little bit about how you work with your clients now and how you help them to find this path to a better life.
Yeah, there's two areas. The first is I do individual and group success coaching. Clients work with me if they're stuck in an area of their life and they either don't know what to do or don't know how to get there. Sometimes they know what they want, they just don't know how. Help them discover their why. And there's a saying, you know, does your why make you cry? And if your why doesn't make you cry, it's not your why. Yeah, so I really help clients through that process. Remove blocks through my, you know, alternative healing modalities, helping to release blocks to let go of the past. And I have a ton of strategies about invoking more gratitude in my clients' lives and the lives of their families and things that they can do to influence. Setting and achieving goals and being in the corporate world for 25 years, Rose, one of the things that I learned is I measured everything that moved. So, you know, setting goals is important, but you also have to establish the measurements and how you're going to know you're successful. That's huge, and then having the accountability. And one thing I didn't share was with my caregiving experience and my coaching experience, I am training to become a certified grief coach. So I have already started to help clients with loss and grief, whether it's death or non-death, into my practice. And I have found that to be really, really valuable, particularly for the second area, which is family caregiver coaching. I created a proprietary system called PEACE, Preparation, Evaluating Care Needs and Options, Advocacy, Care Tips for the Caregiver, a.k.a. Self-Care, and E, Evoking Your Legacy. And through those tools, and, of course, through the grief coaching and success coaching, my goal is to help family caregivers everywhere be more successful and feel like, know that they are not alone, that they have a lifeline, that I'm there for them, and that others have gone through it. I help accelerate their learning curve and give them specific forms and tools and strategies use for all aspects of caregiving. Those are the two primary areas.
That's awesome. Wow, training the grief coach, that's powerful stuff right there. You're working with people that really need you and are probably in real chaos.
Yes. Yeah.
So tell our listeners more about how they can get in contact with them. If something you said really resonated today, if what you have to offer, maybe they are a caregiver, how can they learn more about you and your work?
Yeah, thanks. They can go to either Center for Inspiring Greatness, which is probably easier to remember or spell, centerforinspiringgreatness.com, www.centerforinspiringgreatness.com, or they can go to www.tandyellisala.com. That's why I say Center for Inspiring Greatness is probably easier because some people, Ellisala, they're not quite sure spelling on that. They can go there, and what I have for your listeners and for everybody is a free gift, which is my ebook called Harness Your Power Within, Powerful Tools to Transform Your Life. And some of the tools that we've talked about today, Rose, are integrated in there, and there is tons more. It is a compilation of tools, exercises, techniques, powerful, results-oriented things that, you know, over the last 10 years that I've learned. And it's all in that ebook, and I'm offering that free. So they can go there and get that. And with the caregiving, everything is also there on Center for Inspiring Greatness. Everything is up there, my book and information about how you can connect with me on the caregiving side. Yeah, and I also have some tips for that too. Household operations checklist would prove valuable for any family today and other things. You know, we talked about the gratitude. I also have on my website under free success tools a gratitude journal that you can download for free. If you're one that needs structure, that's a great tool to use.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Rose. It's been such a pleasure, and I am so grateful, you know, and honored that you have me here on your podcast.
Thank you for being here. We really appreciate it so much. If you want to find more information about Tandy and what she does, it's www.centerforinspiringgreatness.com. You can find more information about me and what I do at www.mindfullyorganized.com. You can join the Mindfully Organized mailing list and get the link to the notes from the Starting the New Year's Off Right podcast and exercise if you text MOJOIN, that's MOJOIN, space your first name, space your email address to 38470. You can join the Mindfully Organized Challenge Group at facebook.com/mindfullyorgz, and we'll be posting daily challenges to find our focus, to get more balance, to declutter something, to change how we're thinking about something. And as we post our successes, we're going to use hashtag 2014 BYY for best year yet, because we're going to rock 2014. Congratulations for making the time to listen to Tandy and I today. Subscribe on iTunes. If you like this, write us a review. That will help other people find us. We'll see you soon. Be present, be mindful, be caring, and let's have an awesome 2014. Bye.